You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Well, on the earth.
All right. Toast, that's it. Welcome to the show.
Starting to come in. All right. We are live from the Marijuana Business Association headquarters in Bothell, Washington. So just getting everything dialed in. We've got Priscilla Seibin on the line as well. Priscilla, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay.
Oh, and you're coming through loud. Good, good. I'm just getting the news finished up as well. It's been pretty hectic. We've been here for the first day of the opening day of marijuana legalization here in Seattle, Washington. It's been very hectic. I'm getting some video uploaded, but we will have plenty to show you. Have you been following any of the news coming out from the national outlets there, Priscilla?
I was following the headlines today, and everyone seems really happy about it. I know I heard a lot of people were waiting quite some time, but, you know, that's what you do. You do that.
That's right. That's right. And we'll get to talking about that. I've got an interview with Deb Green. She is the woman who was the first in line at the Cannabis City that was opened up in the SoDo district down on 4th Avenue here in Seattle. Got an interview with her after she made her first purchase. She was speaking to all of the national media. She'd been on Good Morning America as well. We've also got Jeremy Cooper from the Magical Butter Studios was down there. He was third in line. We've got Dave Rines from the Marijuana Business Association, Marijuana Headline News that sponsored us coming out here. Big thanks to them for putting us up here at this studio as well. We'll get him on later on in the show too to talk about what's developing here in the Washington business industries. All right, let's check out what's happening here at the studio. We've got to make sure we're on our time cues. We're doing everything remotely, so it's a little bit more difficult than usual. Also on the show, we've got the press conference that features Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes, the lead law enforcement person in Seattle, admitting that he is going to exercise his newfound freedom and purchase legal marijuana. We've got that blockbuster breaking news video coming up for you very soon in the show, just as soon as it gets uploaded. But first, we'll do our 420 radio news. There's more going on than just Washington, but you wouldn't know it from looking at the marijuana pages these days. But we got some drug testing stories to tell you about, more of that drug testing for welfare stuff that's going on. Also, a drug testing story about U.S. soccer goalie Tim Howard and how he was randomly chosen for a drug test. We've also got more news here from Washington State. Allison Holcomb, the lead architect and campaigner of I-502, was also at this opening. We've got remarks from her. Senator Jean Cole Wells was at the opening as well. And, of course, like I said, it was just a throng of national media. If you'd like to check out some of my posts on this, you can follow my Instagram account at RBShow420, at RBShow420. A lot of pictures and videos there. Also on my personal Facebook, at Radical Russ on Facebook, you'll be able to find the links and some of these videos that we've already got posted. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have Priscilla with the 420 radio news. I'll be back on the video camera as soon as we're done with that. And we've also got the videos from the second state to legalize recreational marijuana markets. Stick around. It's the Russ Melville Show. We'll be right back.
To the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. Weedjucated Talk Radio, replaying Mondays at 10 Pacific on 420radio.org. The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit MJBA.net to join today. That's MJBA.net. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Priscilla Simon.
Hey everyone, this is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, July 8th, 2014. Today was the first day for legal cannabis sales in the state of Washington. 420 Radio was live at the grand opening of Cannabis City in the SoDo district of Seattle, the only marijuana retailer to be opening today. National news media and international reporters lined the streets of busy 4th Avenue, and a line of eager patrons waiting to make their first legal purchase snaked around behind the building. Magical Butter's Jeremy Cooper, in his trademark bright green wig, was third in line and introduced us to Deb Green, the grandmother who was first in line. Deb had been waiting since 3 p.m. yesterday and was even interviewed by ABC's Good Morning America. Allison Holcomb, the architect of the I-502 legislation initiative that made today possible, spoke to the assembled reporters and thanked all the staff and supporters from the campaign. Pete Holmes, the Seattle city attorney, made news when he announced, quote, "I'm here to personally exercise myself this new freedom," end quote. Meaning, Seattle's top law enforcement official is buying marijuana. Russ will have more coverage of the events from today in Seattle later in the show.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. And I've got that audio on board for you right now. Take a listen. This is Pete Holmes, the top cop in Seattle, admitting he's going to buy weed.
But the most important takeaway for everyone here is that today, marijuana sales became legal. And I'm here to personally exercise myself this new freedom.
Can you imagine the top cop in your city? I mean, that's something you guys didn't even get in Denver when you legalized there.
Yeah.
I mean, your city officials are against it, weren't they, Priscilla?
Yeah, I can imagine the chief of police standing next to me at the dispensary.
What a beautiful world we live in.
The state of Tennessee is the latest to begin a system of drug testing applicants for welfare. A new law that took effect this week in Tennessee will drug test state welfare applicants. People who apply to the state's Temporary Assistant for Needy Families, or TANF, program, Families First, will have to answer three questions on a form about potential drug use in order to receive benefits. If they answer yes to any of the questions, they'll be referred to urine testing. If they refuse to take the drug test, they won't be able to get benefits. If the test is positive, they'll have to complete a treatment or recovery plan after a substance abuse evaluation. After that, the applicants will have to take another test, and if it comes back positive, they will be cut off from welfare for 6 months. Programs that drug test welfare applicants are misguided. Recipients don't use drugs at any higher rate than the general population. In Florida, in fact, just 2% of recipients failed drug tests in 2011, while 8% of the state's residents use illegal drugs. In Utah, just 12 welfare recipients tested positive in the year after it enacted a drug testing requirement. In Minnesota, 0.4% of cash assistance recipients have felony drug convictions compared to the state's general population.
Wow. You know, every time this subject comes up, it always hits me personally because I was one of those kids that grew up thanks to, temporary assistance and food stamps and all that kind of stuff. And one of the ways that these bills get so politically popular and are so easy for these legislators to push is that people who don't smoke pot, even people who do smoke pot and have a job, they often get this attitude of, well, I have to take a drug test to get my job. They should have to drug test to get welfare off of the money that I'm, working so hard on. Well, first of all, understand that most people on welfare, most people getting temporary assistance, are people that have been working class people, people who have paid into the system, people who have made their contribution to society and now just need that safety net, need that little bit of help. And as we've seen in those statistics, they don't test for drugs at a rate higher than the general population. The reason why is because drugs cost money. Pretty simple. Drugs cost money. And most people aren't addicted to drugs. Most people that use drugs use them, and they use them responsibly, and they go back to work or do whatever they've got to do. And so what you're doing here is you take a situation where you're punishing people who are responsible, and then that small sliver of people who are actually addicted to hard drugs, people that actually have a problem and can't quit, do you think that threatening taking away their welfare check does any good? No, it's not. That's not the way addiction works. When you have an addiction, you do things that are against your best interest, like, smoking crack instead of, getting your welfare check, right? And then that person then becomes desperate. They got to find a way to live. They got to find a way to pay the bills. They will resort to, whatever means necessary. So these kind of drug testing for welfare things, people are trying to do the right thing. They think they're doing the right thing, but it's one of those things, like many things in the drug war, where the unintended consequences are much worse than what it is that you think the problem is in the first place.
U.S. soccer goalie Tim Howard says he was, quote, randomly drug tested after his phenomenal World Cup performance. When asked on the Mike and Mike show if he heard from his teammates right after the World Cup loss, he said, quote, I got dragged into drug testing again, randomly, so I didn't hear all of them. I think once I got back into the room, it was quiet. Like you said, it was somber. No words can make you feel better. Some guys had tears. Some guys kept sitting quietly. It's tough. Losing in sports, no matter what sport it is, feels exactly the same. It's gut-wrenching. We just tried to shower and get out of there as quickly as we could and get back to our families, end quote. These, quote, random drug tests are an exceedingly out of the ordinary. 7 Costa Rica players were tested after the team beat Italy 2 weeks ago. FIFA checks for red cell and hemoglobin discrepancies, hormone levels, and anabolic steroids.
Well, yeah, random drug testing here. It's just this idea that people couldn't have possibly had such a great game. Tim Howard couldn't have possibly done so well unless he was doped up. And this is where there's this kind of a problem with drug testing in general is it begins by having a culture of distrust in mm-hmm. what people are doing and what people's abilities are. And, this idea that they're going to be so hopped up on these human growth hormones or these alternative steroids, anabolic steroids that they might be using, it just seems to me that we need to evolve to a place where we recognize that athletes are going to try to get whatever competitive advantage they want. And by prohibiting these things outright, all we do is we set up a culture of distrust and we make, an arms race where the guy is making the next supplement or trying to keep ahead of the drug testing technology. And then we end up having to see our heroes fall. People like Lance Armstrong or people like, the baseball players that get, drug tested and their records are called into question and so forth. Instead, why don't we recognize that chemistry exists, biochemistry exists, and if there's a way to improve human performance safely, why don't we let people try to do that? I mean, we let people repair their elbows with surgery. We let people do all sorts of things with sports therapy and sports training that never used to exist. So why can't we accept that there's going to be advances in chemistry and biochemistry and work to make safer, better ways of enhancing human performance instead of just trying to ban it outright, which, as we've seen, prohibition rarely works.
Cannabis gains acceptance as medicinal product in Germany. Many countries have legalized cannabis as medicine. In addition to the Netherlands, medical marijuana is legal in Spain, Portugal, Finland, and certain U.S. states. In these countries, cannabis in medicinal form can be had on presentation of prescription. In Germany, growing cannabis for medical purposes has been legal since May 2011. Before then, special permits from the Federal Institute for Drugs and Medical Devices had to be obtained. Cannabis-containing drugs are usually prescribed as a finished product with cannabis extract added, such as a spray. The medicine is sprayed into the oral cavity. From there, it spreads rapidly in the blood. Germany's government opposes attempts to legalize cannabis and cannabis products. Instead, it wants to strengthen prevention efforts against the drug, but experts believe that more severe penalties for cannabis use do not lead to a decline in consumption.
Yeah, we've seen that, you know, from country to country, from state to state, the difference in your cannabis laws usually doesn't make much of a statistical difference in how much that you're using. But I think Germany and these European countries, the more news media they get from the United States of us legalizing and moving forward with medicinal and recreational marijuana, the harder it is for their governments to continue to repress this. Already they've got the Netherlands, they've got Portugal, they've got such great examples happening already in Europe to show that there is a reason to move forward. And as I talk to my friends in England, they say that's all they hear about in America is the marijuana legalization. It's just saturating their airwaves. So we are going to go very, very far in legalization here. That's going to help us move into legalization all across the world because we started this prohibition. And by God, as Americans, we're going to end it. And I've got one more story. Priscilla did get this one. I wasn't able to get it in under deadline, so I'll just take care of it from here. It's state of Arkansas. A lot of people, this kind of slipped under the radar, but Arkansas Medical Cannabis Act has reached its deadline for the 2014 ballot. They've turned in signatures. They still have yet to do the signature gathering. The group is Arkansans for Compassionate Care. They were counting signatures all through Sunday night, hoping to make it to the ballot. Monday was their deadline. Of course, they've got the requisite doctor saying that it would be a big mistake to legalize it, and he's a Northwest Arkansas physician. He says, quote, "As a physician, I have to be sure about what I'm prescribing. I don't want to legalize something. I don't want to go through the legislative process and bypass what we do with all drugs, going through screening, through the FDA, clinical trials, and so on." But, of course, as we know, the FDA rarely issues trials for things that show the medical benefit of cannabis. And in the case of our Arizona researcher, Dr. Suzanne Sisley, was just recently fired after she got permission to do the first FDA research on medicinal cannabis for post-traumatic stress diagnosis. So, we know how those regular channels work, Dr. Bledsoe, and they don't seem to be working for patients when it comes to medical cannabis. And one person interviewed in this, a Sydney Woods, explained how he thought it was more natural and that his family, his aunt, had tried medical marijuana. She was on, quote, high-grade OxyContin and Valium and all those painkillers, and they don't really work for her. But she tried marijuana once or twice, and it's worked wonders for her, end quote.
Good.
Yeah, it's just amazing what we've got here with medical cannabis. And I know you're out there in Colorado. You've probably got tons of stories of people and their benefits from cannabis.
Yeah, it definitely hits close to home for me because my mom suffers a lot and she's on those heavy drugs just like, you know, that woman there. And cannabis is definitely something that's helped her. So it hits home.
Well, when we get back into the studio, The Nation magazine did a great 5-page article on the intertwining financial relationship between the Coalition for Anti-Drugs, the CADCA, and the Partnership for Drug-Free Kids with all the makers of OxyContin, Vicodin, and Zohydro. Surprise! All right, well, that sound means it's time for our safety meeting. At least in Colorado, we've got to get to the safety meeting. So, Priscilla, thanks for joining us, and you get there and, you know, be safe. It's 4:20 in Denver, folks.
That's right. Toke it up.
Toke it up. We'll be back with some video from the first open cannabis stores in Washington, in Seattle, when we come back.
Radio, the activist radio station. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420 Radio. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines, where I'm dealing with a million things on my plate right at the moment, trying to make sure that everything is working correctly. And I made a mistake that I'm trying to cure while I'm live on the air, because you know how we do things. We do it live here. So let's just kill that little batch file that's making things not work. Okay. And let's see. What did I do to mess things up this time? Oh, I messed up both the interviews that I had prepared. Okay. Let's go to this other file that I've got of a wonderful woman that I met in line while I was there with the rest of the media from Turkey, who was there for the history of it all. Is that one not in a movie either? Oh, my goodness. What sort of problems are we having here live? Let's try this again. Move this to the side and see if we can get this to work. Oh, all we want to do is just drag and drop a file there, and it's not working. All right, let me take a break, and when we come back, we will try to get more of this video online for you. Okay. Interesting. Nothing seems to want to work. Okay, having some problems with the Libremeter online here, so let's see what I can do to fix that. Anyway, we were at the event today, and like I said, it was just packed with the with so much media. It was just really amazing to see so much media that was there, you know, with satellite trucks and everything. So we've got some pictures of that. You can find that at my Radical Russ webpage. Yeah, we're just completely dead on the Libremeter there. So let me see if I can get that fixed, and we will come back just as soon as I can get this to run. There we go. We had some sort of crash there back in the studio in Portland. I will get this re-enabled just as soon as I can make all the clicks. The guest here of Marijuana Headline News, we're going to be working with them quite a bit as we cover the Pacific Northwest here and what's happening in the marijuana community. And let's see, it looks like we've got the system back online. And let's see if I can get you this interview with this wonderful Turkish woman at the line for the opening of Cannabis City.
Well, just let us start right here. So you said you're from Turkey.
Yeah, I am 100% genetically Turkish, pedigree.
Fantastic. I used to work with a very nice Turkish woman named Nergi, and it was the first time I'd ever heard the name Nergi.
Me too. Yeah. It's the first time I heard that
What's
name.
What's your name? Just first name.
My name is Ayşegül. Ayşegül.
Oh, very nice, very nice. And so you came here because you just want to be a part of
a
the
historical
history of it,
right? moment. Yeah, I'm not a smoker.
Yeah. How does this differ from, say, what you might find in Turkey?
I think we are more normal. Nobody would come to an opening for something like that.
Like,
I mean,
oh.
there is. I remember when I was a teenager, they had this pudding shop. It was full with tourists.
Yeah.
No Turkish person was in there.
It's like cannabis.
And then when you drive from, you know, more in the Aegeus or whatever, and you see the cannabis plantages, everybody who is in there is usually from Germany or some other culture.
Right. So it just kind of is common, grows wild. I mean,
they cultivate it. Okay. I just don't know for what they cultivate it. You know,
is it more of a hashish thing, maybe?
Hashish is the product you make out of it. You know, that's another thing. You know, we make fun of the Americans that they smoke
the
parsley. Because you know, I know when I was a teenager, I am very old. We were smoking. I mean, I smoked too. The juice,
the resin,
and they had different. I was very lucky. I met the right people, and they explained me what is what. Like,
well, it's starting to
I shouldn't
more
say that maybe loud, but my favorite one was Temple Dope.
Yeah.
And I think you have. You see, what I have noticed on me is when I'm not happy, I get paranoid. Because right now, even though they said it's legal, the medical marijuana, and you can't smoke it on the street, by the time I come from the bus stop to Walgreens, I'm stoned.
Yeah.
And I have the munchies in Walgreens because I walk by at all these smokers. I'm very sensitive.
Wow. Well, this is pretty amazing being out here.
Yeah.
So glad to have met you. Thanks for being
Thank
here and
you.
Talking to us.
I don't even know your name.
I'm Russ.
Russ.
Nice to meet
Russ.
You. Hey everybody, Radical Russ here in Seattle, Washington. We are out front of the July grand opening event of Seattle's first legal cannabis store. You can see the media circus that has kind of unfolded around us. We've got the Magical Butter limo folks are here. Can't miss the Magical Butter people. And a line of sorts starting to form. Folks waiting to get in here. It looks like noon is about when we're going to have the grand opening ceremonies. We've got friends from the Marijuana Business Association here, and of course our friends from Magical Butter. Let's see if I can get us in to talk with Jeremy. Morgan is here. Hello, Morgan.
Hello.
And Dave Rines from Marijuana Business Association is here. They've got a big bodyguard standing in front of the door. Police line, do not cross tape in front of the door to symbolically mark the end of prohibition of marijuana markets here in Washington State. Let's see if we can get a little closer here, talk to Jeremy. Here's Jeremy handing water out. What a mensch. How you doing?
Hey, man. It's our community responsibility as Magical Butter with our community center to support the people that are in our community. They're three blocks away from us.
I was going to say, right next to
your
place.
How can I not come out here and help them? How can I not come out here and give water to the people that are part of Magical Butter community? We've got the MJBA out here. We've got the WMA, the Washington Marijuana Association. We got the Leafly guys from Tech Meetup. Every single one of these people comes to Magical Butter Studios for our cannabis incubator that really has just pushed forward. And we really want to make sure that we're out there for them as well.
That's so. Right, folks.
Magical Cheers
Butter that. Studios, Seattle. Check them out online. Thanks, Jeremy, for all you do.
Thank you, Russ.
All right. Let's see if we can.
That's some of our coverage from the Seattle Cannabis City down there on 4th Avenue in the SoDo district of Seattle, and Jeremy Cooper from Magical Butter there as well. We're going to go just audio files. We have a problem with the video at this point, so we will reshow those video files once I'm able to get back into the studio. So we will get you that video. Also coming up soon, a look at the intertwined nature of CADCA, Partnership for Drug-Free America, and the makers of the worst opioids as far as epidemic pills that we've got out there. It's the Russ Belville Show live from Bothell, Washington at the Marijuana Headline News MJBA headquarters. We'll be back with the Allison Holcomb, Pete Holmes, James Lathrop press conference, and Deb Green with Seattle's first legal marijuana purchase.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts. Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. 420radio.org is proud to replay the Hollywood Hemptress Hour with Terry Joyce from Portland, Oregon. Terry Joyce is a stand-up comedian and writer and was a former reality television star from the first season of Last Comic Standing. In 2007, she was caught up in a marijuana dispensary raid that made her a cannabis activist. Catch the replays Tuesday at 12 Pacific on 420radio.org. Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles.
Live today from Seattle, Washington. Here's the audio.
Thank you.
Allison Holcomb, Allison Holcomb, I'm the Criminal Justice Director of the ACLU of Washington State. Primary drafter of Initiative 502. Can you hear okay? Okay, I'll go louder. Here we go. Today is an amazing day. As we celebrate this historic moment, I want to share a few thoughts to put these events in broader perspective. In May of 2009, Gil Krulikowski, then the newly appointed director of the White House's Office of National Drug Control Policy, told the Wall Street Journal that the ONDCP had moved from viewing our nation's drug problem as a criminal justice issue to viewing it as a public health matter. I was one of the local advocates who celebrated the apparent harbinger of a fundamental shift in the administration's approach to drugs, announced by none other than a former police chief of the city of Seattle, home of HempFest and Initiative 75. Unfortunately, contrary to expectation and hope, drug offenses have continued to represent the largest category of arrests in the United States each year. Roughly 50% have been for marijuana, and they have been disproportionately of black and brown people. Moreover, the impact of the failed U.S. war on drugs continues to be felt abroad. In 2012, the Mexican Competitiveness Institute found that legal sources of marijuana in the United States could cut drug cartel profits by as much as 30%. Reducing the flow of money to hyper-violent criminal organizations by any amount matters. Since 2006, more than 60,000 have died in drug war-related violence in Mexico, and an additional 26,000 are missing. Here in Washington, since 2007, marijuana prohibition has directly contributed to homicides in Everett, Spokane, Puyallup, Orting, Federal Way, and Seattle. Initiative 502, as our city attorney pointed out early in the campaign, is a game changer. Decriminalization, ending the arrests of users, is something that's already been done in several other states and countries. What we're tackling today is the supply side of the equation. We're moving marijuana out of the shadows, regulating it for consumer and community safety, dedicating new tax revenues to keeping kids healthy and keeping them in school. We're finally taking marijuana out of the criminal justice system and treating it as a public health issue. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Washington State voters, for your leadership. I'd also like to thank a few of the people who helped make this day possible, and I'll do so more quickly. Kathleen Taylor and all my amazing colleagues at the ACLU of Washington for more than a decade of vision and perseverance. The Drug Policy Alliance for its significant contributions to the campaign and years of supporting broad range of drug reform work in Seattle and Washington. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws and its powerhouse Washington chapter. Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Mark and Jody Emery. The Marijuana Policy Project. Vivian McPhee, Patti Seelig, and all of the people that make HempFest possible, Students for Sensible Drug Policy, Richard Lee, Rick Steves, Harriet Bullitt, Bill Clapp, the NAACP, and the Tacoma Pierce County Black Collective, El Centro de la Raza, the Asian Pacific Islander Coalition, and so many elected officials, there are too many to list. Dr. Benjamin Danielson and the Children's Alliance, the sponsors of Initiative 502, including Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes, and the amazing New Approach Washington staff, volunteers, and officers. But most importantly, today I want to thank James Lathrop and his staff. They and other small businesses across this state are undertaking the formidable challenge of creating this new legal marketplace and proving that we can do better than prohibition. I hope we will all support them and honor their hard work and sacrifice. Thank you, James. Thank you, Pete. And thank you, Seattle.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Pete Holmes, Seattle City Attorney. First, I want to thank Jeannie Colwell. The senator has been a longstanding warrior in the battle against the war on drugs, and we really owe a debt of gratitude to her. Look, it's hot, and I just want to point out, we're all ready for this opening, but over three years ago, I stood with Allison Holcomb at Seattle Central Library as we announced the launch of what would become Initiative 502. And now I'm really and truly honored and pleased to be standing here with her again as we witness the opening of Seattle's first cannabis store. Thank you. So, look, I'm going to stop waxing nostalgic while you're all waiting in line to buy something. It's important that, you know, we recognize we're in short supply. We've only got one store. And there's going to be other bumps in the road as we veer away from the failed war on drugs toward a regulated system. That's what this is all about. But the most important takeaway for everyone here is that today, marijuana sales became legal. And I'm here to personally exercise myself this new freedom. Congratulations, Allison. And congratulations to the voters of Washington. Thank you all.
It is hot. My name is James Lathrop, J-A-M-E-S-L-A-T-H-R-O-P, and on this beautiful, sunny, gorgeous Seattle day, July 8th, 2014, I declare this war over! Yeah! And I think it's time to free the weed! And we have a gigantic pair of scissors to free the weed.
Free it!
We now get our chance to interview Deb Green, first purchaser of legal marijuana. in Seattle. Deb had been standing in line since 3 p.m. previous day.
Jeremy, how do you feel? I got to purchase legal cannabis.
Here we go. You got Jeremy Cooper right here. Jeremy,
how you doing? I went on a purchase.
Hi. Can we head that way?
Go right here. Yes. Okay.
Everybody, once again, thank you so much. We got to keep this by the sidewalk.
How do you feel, Deb?
I'm asking for equity.
Oh, he didn't have to put it down. I just didn't. I went in front of the car.
Well. Here you are, the first one.
Yep, I am.
How does it feel?
Oh, it's wonderful, exhilarating. Except that I overbought. I only wanted to buy two packages, not bought four.
You bought four packages?
Yeah, I bought four.
What are you going to do with the marijuana?
Well, I told you, this one will be safe. I won't be using it at all, ever. And I won't sell it. It'll go maybe to Mohai. Maybe they'll take it when I die. And someone suggested I put on the back, put my ashes in it. And I said, okay, I'll write on the back, family, put my ash in first. So there it is.
You said before that you're not a big marijuana smoker.
I'm not.
But why be here today?
Because it's just such a wonderful part of history. I mean, I grew up in it, and I never could really enjoy it. Now I can legally, and there's just something about that liberty and that freedom. It's just incredible.
Were you surprised with the amount of press here? The amount
of heck yeah.
Why?
Well, because I just figured, you know, you guys were just a couple of you. The local stations, maybe a couple of national people, but yeah, it's pretty overwhelming.
There were a lot of everybody, even the press, for legal purposes, we need this part of the sidewalk cleared. Move back to the yellow. Thank you. Even the press, thank you.
Go for it now.
Talk a little bit about that experience, going through and seeing all the different choices. And
well, the good news was before I went in there, I did go over and talk to Leafly and say, okay, guys, give me some ideas because I really don't know where I'm going. So they were very nice and very helpful. And we talked about the one I wanted to save and the one I wanted to smoke. And they gave me those choices. And I went in there and said, okay, this is what I want. Because they have these counters. It's like chocolate.
Deb, you waited almost 24 hours to walk in those doors. What did it feel like when you went inside?
Hot? No. It was hot, but it was exhilarating. In fact, the very first thing I did was find Allison and give her a big hug and thank her for all of her efforts for bringing this to us all. Because really, without her, we couldn't go.
What does this mean for you? Carla, you were telling me about Kratos.
Well, it just means that, you know, I don't have to sneak around. I don't have to, you know, pass money and look for somebody to do that. You know, and I get choices. My gosh.
Did you ever think that you would be so integral in this process here? Okay. How does that make you feel? Excited. You seem so emotional. I don't know why, but it is. It's a wonderful feeling.
I can't wait to go home and smoke at my own and enjoy it. And I hope you all get your opportunities as well. So buy some. They need your business.
Did they tell you that it needs to stay sealed and stable?
We talked about it, and that's kind of the requirement, so that's fine.
Is that their store requirement?
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just respected what they said. You know, you follow the rules. That's what I've been taught to do.
Did you say without your ashes, you're going to have your ashes ready?
Well, yeah. I'm not going to smoke this. It's going to go someplace that, I mean, it is an integral part of our history in the city of Seattle, so I thought, maybe Mohai might like it when I'm gone. So I'm going to write on the back to my family about my ashes. I'm going to say put my ash in first. And that way they'll know that that's where it is.
You don't want your family to smoke you.
No way.
That could be trouble.
No, but hey, if I'm not smoking it, they're not smoking it.
Do you feel liberated or do you feel...
Oh, totally.
Do you feel a relief? Do you feel a relief?
Yeah, I do. I did. Actually, I have to admit, I felt it more when the vote came through than now. But now it's just sweet. You know, it's just a sweet victory.
Do you think it took too long?
No, it had to take its course. And, you know, too long, yeah, maybe if you wanted to be 16 and smoking dope and have it illegal. But now it's regulated. It's in a form that we can at least start to manage and maybe take some of the scariness away from the other people who don't really know about
it. You haven't seen in there. What does it look like?
I do.
What do you tell them about smoking pot?
Wait till they're old enough? I mean, it's no different than drinking, in my opinion. It's the same. the same price, as long as it's done in moderation like anything else.
Deb, what was the cost?
Oh, so I have four packets, and it was $160. So with tax included, it was $40.
Is that more than you expected or less?
Well, it's exactly what I expected if I'd have bought what I said I was going to buy. But instead of doubling it, I was just so excited. So I wound up spending twice.
Yeah.
It goes
my allowance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Were you surprised by the process? Anything you think did very
I'm sorry.
Is there anything that you think should have been better about this whole process?
In terms of today?
In terms of today or the regulations?
Well, you know, any regulation that's out there is going to be a question about that. I understand that medical marijuana, a lot of people have DUI things going on, and I totally think that needs to be looked at. You know, I'm not in any position that, in terms of how it's done today,
what do you say to people who oppose recreational marijuana?
Just try it. Someday you will try it, and you'll know that it's not easy.
That's Deb Green, who is the first person to purchase legal marijuana in the city of Seattle today, this afternoon. It's just a couple hours old on that video. We also heard from Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes, who admitted he is going to personally exercise his right to buy marijuana. Maybe he'll even smoke it. He didn't say about that. When we come back, we're going to take a tour of the Marijuana Business Association new headquarters here in Bothell, Washington. We'll also be speaking with Dave Rines from Marijuana Business Association on this historic day in the Evergreen State. You're listening to the Russ Bell Bell Show. We're back after this.
To the Russ Bellville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Bellville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
When I grow up, I want to be a track star.
No one ever says, I want to be a junkie when I grow up.
I want to be a ballerina.
Yet thousands of kids let getting high make a mess of their lives.
I want to be a nurse.
Don't let drugs get in the way of your dreams.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Bellville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
I don't use marijuana, but as a teacher of 36 years, I can tell you lots of other people use it. I don't believe in prohibition. I don't think it works. Prohibiting it hasn't stopped anybody from getting a hold of it. I would like to see it regulated so that maybe kids can't get a hold of it so easily. I know they get a hold of it now very easily. I support a new approach to marijuana. I support legalizing it. It's with us. It's not going to go away. And if we can get money through the taxation, we can also educate our kids about it. That's why I support it.
You can't handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law.
and federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
How in the century you have slurred the meaning of the words we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
All right, everybody, welcome back. And it's about 50 after the hour. We're here at the MJBA headquarters in Bothell, Washington. And I got to say, it's my first time ever in Bothell. I guess I never bothered to Bothell before. But it's just one of the outskirts towns here in the Puget Sound era, Seattle, Washington, where marijuana sales became legal today. So we're going to take a little walk and take a look around at the MJBA headquarters here, where we have Dave Rines, who's working hard.
Just spreading the good word, Russ. Thank you for joining us here at MJBA headquarters.
How this is pretty new. How long have you been here?
Well, just 3 weeks. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So while we've had four major events and launched the nation's second recreational marijuana market, we've also opened a new office and have populated it with everything you see.
Yeah, it looks like an old recording studio because we got the glass partition here.
It
soundproof.
It does. Yeah. Heralding back to our roots, you know, not only does activism go way back to the 60s, but our very architecture does as well.
Yeah.
So we're here in the agricultural roots. This is a 1940s farmhouse here in Seattle. We have a dual glass. Right here is where we were building. You can see we did our vendor fair.
Yeah, yeah.
This was the second
we covered the first one
of the business community here in Washington. We had about 30 different sponsors, you can see, who came here and showcased their wares. This time, we had a lot of financial and security and distribution. We're really putting the nuts and bolts.
We broke news at the first one when Salal said they were going to be doing credit union services.
Yeah, well, that was actually at our seminar.
The
law seminar. This is a vendor fair. We do a whole host of meetings. And here's, of course, our prosperity, the road to prosperity through legal cannabis and joining the Marijuana Business Association.
Yeah. Speaking of like the unintended consequences or the tertiary beneficiaries of marijuana legalization,
ooh, I like that.
How about that subway next to the Cannabis City?
Yeah, yeah. it's opportunistic, synergistic, if you will.
Yeah.
So it's not just the vendors of the cannabis, it's the vendors of the donuts, the subway sandwiches, the glassware, and I think the musical of offerings as well. We were talking about one of the unintended consequences of higher consciousness is a predilection for jazz music.
That's right.
So
that's the gate. That's the gateway, folks.
It's
gateway to jazz
and beat poetry.
And beat poetry.
So continue. I know this is where you were, but I want to show you.
Okay.
Here's Not a Secret, who
was
MJBA first corporate client ever way back in October. So we've been doing this for over a year now, and it all goes back to Nana Secret.
Yeah, love the Nana Secret. They were very good just the other morning.
And here is the sales pit. This is your recording studio and also where we put together all of our events. You can see on the whiteboard, we have a Women's Alliance, a very big group here of women entrepreneurs in Washington. We do Green Pages, which is our marijuana Yellow Pages for directory members and others in the industry, and Summer Picnic is coming up next
week.
So if you're in town and have potato salad to bring, give us a ring at info at mjba.net.
Liking it.
Come on down. I'm going to show you. Again, this is a work in progress. However, we do have our roots. You know, you can see Normal. Shout out here to Washington Normal.
There we go.
And we come upstairs into the headquarters, and we'll go upstairs here before we go outside.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And so this is a 1940s farmhouse, as I suggested. We're on a half acre of land. And if you just do a panoramic, you see that we have a canopy set up from last week's event. We did a barbecue. We have picnic tables in the back. We're right here on the Gilman Burke Trail, or the Burke Gilman Trail. I'm always dyslexic about that. But anyway, we're on a big trail, so you can bring your bikes and your kayaks. So after you're doing your cannabis business, take a little walk on the wild side. And right here at the headquarters, come on down.
Wrap around porch, yeah.
Nice den of time. And come on in. So this is the Country Kitchen, the home of the MJBA. This is where we have coffee, you know, variety. We accommodate all varieties of caffeine. So
hippie speedball, coffee,
hippie speedball, whatever coffee would be. And we also have alcohol for those of you who are old school. And you'll see that we have our conference table. We're doing dinner with clients and staff meetings here. And then lots of cubby holes for client discussions and meeting as we're building your web pages and launching your businesses.
I anticipate lots of nice gatherings here.
And then here is, this is kind of our greeting reception area. You'll see, you know, again, an homage to our MJBA branding. As you come in here, we have the orange sofas. And then, of course, the Road to Prosperity blow up. This is Michael Gutson, our local artist here from Carnation, Washington, who's doing our Works in Progress poster campaign. So
nice.
We need you to lead the way, because ladies and gentlemen, we do the platform. We do the platform, but we're not the community. The community really provides the nuts and bolts of what's happening. So what's happening in Russ's backyard in Oregon is different. They're in a different stage of legalization, a different stage of the movement than what we're doing here in Washington. I grew up in Indiana. Certainly back there, the story is all about hemp. I spent many years in New York City. Those folks today are celebrating legal medical marijuana, which is a large step forward. It may not be a perfect solution, ladies and gentlemen, but it's a step forward. And when we first started the Marijuana Business Association group in New York City 6 months ago, they thought we were crazy. They thought there was no way that medical marijuana would be passed in Washington State, what with Rockefeller draconian drug laws in New York State. And guess what? Now they have it. So we're making progress. The tipping point has moved in our direction, and we're here to legalize not only in Washington State, but in all 50 states and indeed around the country.
Yeah, and it's happening. It's so beautiful to see it, to see it happen, and to be here and watch everybody outside, all the press that was gathered, just a massive, massive press, you know,
it was just unbelievable.
And just, I think possibly that, you know, the fact that Seattle only had one shop that was opening to start off with.
Well, that's crazy, right?
Kind of concentrates everyone in one spot.
Exactly right, because, you know, in Denver, there were, I think, 19, mm-hmm. we were thinking, and certainly, you know, longer lines and much more media attention. So this is a slower rollout. It's a slower, more organic growth to the industry. But I think in many ways that's good, because we're giving ourselves a chance to work out those kinks. Clearly, there's no... paucity of outlets for marijuana. We were noting that right next to the 508 store, right around the corner, as we toured the block, there was a
until next time, be care of each other. You know, if you haven't heard, we love her.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it.